I am thrilled you joined us today at A View Beyond the Ordinary. I'm Jolene Lenz, your host, and this is where we explore those divine encounters, meet some courageous souls who share their stories with the goal of helping us pursue our own bliss or dream. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and listen through Spotify, Apple iTunes, or one of your favorite podcast apps. And let's get started and tune in. Today's guest is Brad Birchnell, and we'd like to welcome you, Brad. And also, I want to start by first just sharing with the listeners a little bit more about your background, and then we will dive right into the questions. So Brad served for 15 years in both the Navy and the Naval Reserves, where he was the leading chief for his unit in San Diego. He has an extensive background in the manufacturing sector in terms of also working his way into a leadership role. He has been a volunteer assistant leader and leader of a faith-based grief program called Grief Share for 7 years. Brad is working towards becoming a life mentor coach to help others heal from divorce, PTSD, anxiety, and recovery from the suicide of loved ones based on his own experience with all of these issues. Brad is experienced in personal trauma through the loss of his oldest daughter to suicide in May of 2018. He has 2 surviving daughters, a son-in-law, and 1 grandson born this year. So Brad, we really are grateful that you are here today. Thank you very much, especially with having, you know, gone through the loss of a child. Nobody ever wants to lose their kids. So to have to go through that, especially in terms of a suicide, I'm sure just added to the pain. I would like to start there in terms of what you have undergone and just to share with the listeners, you know, from where you maybe began until where you're at today. Can you share with us a little bit more about what you've had to deal with?
Thanks for the invitation to join today. I appreciate that. Hopefully the goal today really is for me is to be able to share her story and her legacy and what I've experienced and hopefully be able to pass on hope to other people that they can come out the other side. In 2018 was a culmination of an awful lot of challenges for my oldest. She had suffered with eating disorders in high school and unbeknownst to me, and just had other issues in college, but they didn't really present themselves until probably she was getting close to finishing up her master's in psychology at a seminary in San Diego area. And she was actually working in hospice for pediatrics. And she was doing what they call art therapy. Not really sure what happened. Basically what I can surmise based off of, I guess for lack of a better word, the forensic evidence that I was able to glean and share with both my therapists was it appears as though she may have suffered from border personality disorder, which presents at different times and in different ways, but it becomes manic behavior. She ended up running away from who she was for a long time. And in 2016, she attempted her first suicide by running her car into the side of a wall. As she was coming down from Big Bear Mountain in Southern California. She tried again in 2017, but luckily the police were called and she ended up going into a mental institution for observation for 72 hours. Unfortunately, during that time, she was injured and had to go in for some additional surgery. So she was never really diagnosed. We don't know what ended up happening. So it's a little bit of a challenge. But on May 28th of 2018, she determined that she had been in such pain, physical pain, still hadn't recovered from the injuries that she had in 2016. She just couldn't take it anymore. And, basically took a step off of a 9-story building.
Oh, Brown, I'm so sorry.
It was difficult to deal with, and it's a funny thing. Brene Brown talks about it as foreboding joy, and it's preparing yourself for any instance by robbing yourself of joy for that particular individual, whatever that might be. And that was mine. When I received that call, I didn't get it until the next morning when I saw my voicemail from my first wife and informed me what ended up happening. So I became numb and informed my last wife and told her, I said, hey, you know, Beth took her life and told her what ended up happening and told the kids and called up my all my relatives and just gave them the heads up what was going on. And it was very difficult to deal with. You know, there were challenges with my first wife and be able to deal with that and how to. And then obviously she's in California, I'm in Michigan. So it's how do we deal with that? And also I tasked myself with doing my daughter's eulogy.
Ooh.
So you don't really process things at the time. You go into a mode of, for lack of a better word, you go into somewhat tunnel vision and you go into cruise control. You're really not aware of anything that's going on too much. I probably drank more than I had normally. I was never really a big drinker anyway, but for me, more is relative term, but I used numbing strategy for quite a while and it didn't work. I ended up pushing people away. I walled off and it started presenting itself in other things that weren't healthy. Mm-hmm. So as a direct result of that, the question is, how did I get through and what coping mechanisms did I utilize?
Right.
I didn't use really good ones initially. I did have one therapist. It was not a good fit. I went to another, but during this whole time, my marriage did not survive for a number of reasons, but it didn't survive. We ended up parting and was formalized at the end of January of last year. So all these things coming into play, and you're dealing with obviously with COVID and everything else. I was fortunate that I really found a good therapist and he was phenomenal. It really helped out an awful lot. The challenges become if you're not really honest with yourself and if you don't take a look at your own trauma. Mm-hmm. I had to go back in and really take a look at the trauma that I had. You know, I was never really good at, you know, you hear about these things, you know, family of origin issues where you end up having trauma as a child and all those other things. And honestly, for the longest time, I thought it was just a load. I really did. I just didn't believe in it. I said, you know what? Hey, I got past that stuff. Really what ended up happening was I just totally deflected and I bypassed the pain. I didn't recognize it. So after all this stuff starts happening with my daughter, I'm starting to deal with all of that. Mm-hmm. The trauma that I had as a child, the trauma that I had as a teenager, the trauma that the attachment issues that I ended up having, you know, all those types of things ended up coming into play. And I was not in a good place. I was probably in the darkest place that I'd ever been in my entire life. And, you know, it's a challenge. There are things that end up happening that, you know, interactions with your adult children. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not. The relationships become strained and we're working through those issues. They're working through theirs. I'm working through mine. Sometimes we get together. Sometimes we don't. Right now we're on a hiatus and that's fine. Everybody's got to be able to process in their own way, whatever that looks like. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I thank you for sharing such raw, you know, information to have to go through all of that. That's tremendous amount of change. And I know you mentioned you found an incredible therapist.
Yeah, I did.
What, What did they, in terms of, and looking at your own trauma, I mean, when you go through a situation like that, you said it brought out some healing you had to do there first. You know, what did this, what did the therapist really start you doing initially that helped?
Well, I think the very first thing was, you know, I switched over to a therapist that had only dealt with men issues, and he was male. My first one was not. Not that that's neither here nor there, but it was just his focus and the things that he had dealt with and the things that it was his specialty. So I think from that standpoint, it was a safe space for me. I felt really safe in that environment. And we went through exercises on different aspects of my life, how I viewed myself. And he really started peeling back some of the layers of the things that I experienced and what I felt, what I was feeling. That ended up culminating in joining a national men's group. It was called Uncivilized Man. And it gave me an understanding for, you know, that there, I was not the only man that had dealt with that. Men in general, and this is just my personal opinion because I've seen it firsthand, because probably where I was at, you know, I'm a baby boomer. I was raised in that environment where men don't show vulnerability. You don't cry. You don't show weakness at all. And the challenge becomes with that, you choke everything down, no matter what it is. And it's not healthy. It's not a good way to live. You don't pass your trauma. All you do is bury it. And eventually it's going to end up coming out in one form or another. And I think that was really key for my therapist and what he ended up identifying and helping me lead through some of that, you know, some of that scared child component that I ended up having, that brokenness. And that really led me to more self-discovery more than anything else. And that was helpful. That was a good entrance where I thought that I was in a good space. I really did. I started doing work with someone by the with my current life coaches, Annie Lieb and Mike Catarano, who founded the Breath Framework. And if anybody's following that in LinkedIn, they're going to know who they are. Essentially, they ended up helping me to look at myself, take a look at the begin, identify those components of where I was really damaged and deal with it. I never had. So by writing letters to myself, you know, and going through my entire story, healing, apologizing, forgiving myself and giving myself permission to love myself. And also going through all those individuals that had hurt me, including my daughters, those things that I'd hurt them, things that they'd hurt me about, my deceased daughter, and other people that had come into my life that had created trauma. It was, it's extremely freeing in writing, but that's only part of it. The other component is you read them. You read them aloud, you read them to your coaches, and it's difficult. It really is. It's hard stuff. You know, it's not something that people are going to say, gosh, I really want to go ahead and do that. But I can just tell you from where I'm at today is, had I not done that, I'm not sure I'd be living.
Wow, Brad, I'm curious, how long ago did you start working with the breath work?
I started working with the breath framework. Okay, this is now September. Probably about 4 or 5 months ago is when I really started. Well, actually, I started working with Annie probably January, February of this year. Okay. Because I was looking at, I thought I was in a really good headspace. I was getting ready to launch my own mentoring business called Life Steps, and that's still on the focus. But right now, my focus really is on me and healing. So as I was going through that, because I was working with Annie separately and Michael separately. And they both said, you know, we have this thing we want to go ahead and talk to you about. And they talked to me about breath framework. And I said, okay, maybe I can go ahead and learn a little stuff. And what I really learned was there were deeper hurts that I had that I'd never dealt with. And it, And the fact that both of them had walked a similar path as I had was extremely helpful and an extremely safe environment because I never felt judged. I could say anything that I wanted to. I could express all the hurts that I ended up having and the challenges that I ended up having, up to and including, you know, thinking, you know what, am I even going to do it? You know, at one point last year, I said, you know, do I even have it in me just to go on? I just didn't, you know, at that point I was just so despondent. I just didn't know. As a result of that, it was just extremely deep work. And this is just not one of those things. It's a one and done. It's a daily practice that you end up going through every single day. It's something that I'm very, very grounded in. It enables me to really look at my core and really see what's in alignment for me in order to go, not just, you know, go through something and say, I'm getting it done. It's okay. First thing you got to start to be, where's your beginning? You know, who are you? What are you? What are the things that you know about yourself? And then, you know, are there people that are hampering you? Are there situations that you've allowed that power to be transferred to somebody else or something else? And you need to reclaim that back in order to reclaim you. And then you go through the, you know, really examining, what do you really value? What are the things that make you up specifically? What's your core values? How does that align with who you are? You know, and then as you're excavating, you're going through that, you start getting clarity. And I was actually in a relationship at that particular point. And I can tell you that as I was going through that, the gal and I had been dating, we both, you know, I just said, this is, you know, we were out and I was just like, going, this, I'm not in alignment with this. I'm not all in, and I need to be all in, and I'm not healed. And in order for me to be in any type of relationship, I need to be that. But the first relationship that I really needed was me. And I recognized that. And I was going towards that at that point, but I needed to be full in with me first. And that's part of that is, as you're going through your examining your core values, is identifying your self-worth. You know, do you love yourself? And people can say, well, gosh, that's, you know, that's somewhat hedonistic or selfish or whatever. No, it's absolutely necessary, because if you can't value your own self-worth, and if you can't give yourself self-compassion, self-love, and examining all of those things, providing yourself grace and stop beating yourself up, it becomes really difficult for you to be in any type of relationship, friendship, business, or being in a good headspace just to be a good human. So that's where I was at. I ended up breaking it off. We ended up coming to a mutual conclusion that it just wasn't working for either of us. We're still great friends, which is fabulous. I love that because I value her and I value our friendship. But one of the things that's the most difficult component is, you know, in the breath framework is the A for allow. And allow, what you're doing is you're sitting in all of those emotions, all of those things that you need to deal with. Some of those things you've got to lay down. It's all the garbage. It's all the things that you're holding on to, all that stink, all that mess, you're holding it inside. Is it really doing you anything? Is it providing you any level of value? And it was at that time when, you know, as I'm going through all of this, I'm like, going, how convenient is that? I mean, it's like, what, you know, I broke off my girlfriend. I'm living, you know, you're hearing about living in a house by myself. You know, my kids and I are not really interacting. So I'm like in a place where I don't have any other choice but to examine me. Right. So part of that is writing. And like I said, the letters and reading those aloud to them and going through those and listening to a lot of Brené Brown and also a lot. And then also listening to Harriet Lardner. And both of those authors really have a lot of value in taking a look at opening yourself up to vulnerability. And that really is a key. What I found was it's just the stigma of shame as as being male. I didn't feel at that particular juncture, especially with my daughter, was that really the kind of the first thing that started happening was I had the shame of not being able to, here I am, I serve my country, but I couldn't save my daughter.
Right.
So you have that guilt, you have that, you know, and then you deal with some of those other issues and you have people coming in and say, hey, listen, you know, it's been a month or two. You need to get over it. You know, and right. But that's reality. They haven't lived it. And there are people that, you know, been in the same circumstance. Here I was, I'm thinking, hey, I can deal with this. I lost my dad in 1980 from cancer while I was in the service. I served as in a grief share program. So, you know, here I was, and I was going to college to get my master's in a psychology related degree. I thought, hey, I got this thing lit. Nope. It's just the opposite. You know, it talks about in different arenas about digging up garbage and what ends up happening. Keep digging it up and you don't deal with it once and for all. All this is going to end up doing is just creating a long-term problem. So as my employer said, you know, you're going to need to go out for 2 months. In order to cover myself for FMLA, I had to get a note from my therapist with a diagnosis. So I'm going in there. I was like, well, it's probably going to be anxiety, depression. No, it was PTSD.
Incredible. So to go through that, have your employer give you the time to help heal. Mm-hmm. I bet that was such a gift in hindsight, looking back and having the opportunity to deal with this one-on-one, day-to-day. You mm-hmm. mentioned a key thing, a couple key things too, in my own experience in the loss of, you know, when I lost 5 people quickly in my life.
Right.
And you mentioned something, if you don't deal with it, I believe that it manifests into something bigger. And and taking the time to journal for me was incredibly healing. So you mentioned writing those letters.
Journaling is a major component as well. That's a major component too.
Oh, it just being able to air that out and get it out in the open and whether you send it or you read it out loud to somebody, but the fact you had to read it to your coach, I can only appreciate, you know, the vulnerability that you went through to do that. And it's still so new for you. I'm sure, are you noticing that as every month goes by, you feel a little bit lighter and more like, oh, I'm finding out who I really am? Because you mentioned that you're really getting to know you.
Yeah. It's funny. I just, you know, I know that the two things that I always know is that when I read letters to my coaches, I've always got to have tissue nearby. Because I'm sorry, that's one of the other things. I'm not sorry. I'm glad that I'm able to go ahead and cry and release those things. I'm, you know, probably an ugly crier, which is perfectly fine. But it also helps release endorphins. And it's good for cleansing. That's one of the first realizations is I had that ability to do that. The other things as far as what we were talking about as the lightness, the allow part. Yeah. You know, each month has been good. And I will say this out to anyone going through the breath framework process. Allow sucks. It is not fun. You know, it's just one, but I tell you something, it is a phenomenal process to go through because you really sit in your, in all of your issues and deal with them. It's not something that, you know, you deal with them once and for all. After I did that reading with my coaches, it was amazing. It was cathartic. And really just, you know, felt very purged out of a lot of that, out of a lot of those people say demons, but I just like to call it a bad karma from internal or the darkness. When you name, Brene Brown always talks about it now, you know, I love quoting her is paraphrasing, but essentially when you name the shame, it brings light. Mm. And, you know, any type of darkness hates the light. does not like it, does not like to be named. So when we end up dealing with that once and for all, it's incredibly freeing because it enables you to forgive yourself for those times that, you know, and it's not, we are not that issue. We are good people that make poor decisions. You know, we're fallible. We make mistakes. Things end up happening. I'll make more. It's just the realization and awareness that helps us towards that.
Right. And that is a beautiful quote. I love Brené Brown. And for me, I found that allow, and you use the word allow, we have just, I think we're taught when, you know, oh my gosh, to be angry or to sadness, just, you know, put that away. Don't, that means you're less than or something. For me personally, I realized, I think you're right, Brad. The key there is allow and accept our emotion. And we may think we've dealt with it one day and it comes back the next day. So it sounds like for you, well, that has been a painful one. That's really one you want to share with the listeners.
Yeah. And I think for me is the pain points are really, really key, especially when, if you don't talk about them, you don't deal with them. You're just going to carry that burden. And it's going to be an anchor. There's no two ways about it. I know that firsthand. I was having a conversation with my boss the other day, and because we're nearing the year time frame that, you know, when I was out on the 2 months, and he asked me a really interesting question. He goes, "How are you feeling?" I said, "I feel great." I said, "I've never been in such a good headspace ever. I've never felt this level of peace and this level of contentment, joy, love, whatever you want to call it, and the level of vulnerability that I'm able to process anything. Nothing really bothers me anymore. I don't get angry. I don't get irritated, except while driving. That's a different story, but, you know, but honestly, I mean, for the most part, I would say probably 99.997% of the time, you'll have those little friction points with people. It just doesn't bother me. But, you know, someone can be really not happy with me. I was like, okay. And they're expecting me to be a certain way. I'm like, no, yeah, I understand. And they're just like, what is with you? I'm like, I have no clue what you're talking about. Who is this guy that I'm dealing with instead of the one that we used to deal with? I said, I've changed. There's a lot of things that I've been able to do and be able to work on myself. It's daily work. It's things I end up looking at. Meditation, end up just journaling, all the things that, you know, prayer, whatever that looks like to you. I have a personal relationship, a personal faith, and how I end up practicing is my own. And how others practice it, whatever that looks like to them on a higher power, I know what mine is. But finding that and experiencing that on a daily basis and recognizing and being hyper aware of who I am in myself are key elements towards that. The second part after that, when I was talking to my boss, and he goes, "Yeah, this is amazing." He goes, "Brad," he said, "Tell me a little bit about this breath framework thing." So I told him, I said, "Well, the major key really becomes vulnerability. Through vulnerability is where we find our creative side." Think about it. If someone has a brand new idea and they want to pitch it, that's vulnerable. Think about, you know, all these people that have found these new software plans that are at software programs out there. How would you like to be Steve Jobs or Bill Gates, you know, early on in their career saying, "Yeah, I got a different way. I'm departing this and I got this brand new thing I'm going to end up doing." Get laughed out of, you know, that's pretty vulnerable to be able to reveal that. Same thing with, you know, when we tell someone for the first time that we love them, not much different. There's that trepidation, there's that, you know, angst to be able to deal with that. And as I'm explaining that to my boss, he goes, "I appreciate you telling me that." He says, "That's really interesting." But he goes, "It's amazing, Brad. I see you how you are today. And I look back to where you were at back then." He goes, I don't see the same person. I had breakfast with my former girlfriend on this last Saturday. And, that was one of the things that we talked about on Sunday. And she goes, she goes, even since when we first dated, Brad, you're different. And it's markedly. So
you've made some incredible strides. And I know just, you know, I've had the opportunity, Brad, I've watched you on LinkedIn share some posts that were incredibly vulnerable, you know, where you shared information like this. And I so appreciate that. I think there are so many people out there that after the loss of somebody, especially so dear, to walk through the pain and explain how you're feeling, it sounds like life, you're actually out living. And I'm sure your daughter would want those that leave here. I believe, like you, I believe are in a better place.
Yeah.
So they would want us to fully be alive and live. And it's so refreshing to hear that it sounds like you're actually even at a stage beyond where you were going through the loss, you know, previously before she passed.
Yes.
In a way, she's probably helping you, I believe, from the other side. And on that note,
do you ever believe
or get a gist that even though we may lose them here physically, that you still sense her around?
Oh, sure. You know, I have pictures of her all over the house, and there's key days that, you know, that I'll feel her probably more than other days. And, you know, I've had dreams that, you know, much like my dad's is, you know, as time went on, he became healthier. Same thing with Bev is now when I have dreams about her, we have conversations in the dreams with her. She's healthy. She looks great. And she just tells me, Dad, I just want you to be happy. She goes, I'm not in pain anymore. She goes, and I don't want you to be either. Things are going to work out no matter what. And she was just she really was a delight when she was a very gregarious, very fun, loving girl. She loved the beach and she was a typical Southern California girl, blonde, loved the beach, loved running, you know, all that other type of stuff, loved her dog. But yeah, she had troubles, but you know, my focus for her is going to be about her legacy, and her legacy was all about love. And that's really who she was. Eventually my focus is besides my healing is going to be on the next journey, which is, as I mentioned earlier, which is development of, a mentoring coach program, called Life Steps. And it really is just a lot of the same things that I'm discussing here. It's just coming alongside people that are struggling and just want somebody that's been there. And what, you know, it's not about what do I do? It's just like same type of things that I ended up doing. Write about it. Talk about it. Talk about who they are, how they're feeling. What are the things that they are experiencing? The more that they can do that, and my training is going to be obviously going through the breath framework an awful lot. But ultimately, too, what I want to do is develop a foundation in memory of my daughter called BGB Love, because she was all about love and how she and really her legacy is not her last step. Her legacy really is about who she was and what she represented. And it was just pure joy and love. And if I can end up assisting someone to that is either progressing through the loss of a loved one through suicide, or better yet, to assist others that have come back from that brink and help the families heal. That's tremendous. That's what I want. And that's what I want for my daughter, you know, so I know she would want that more than anything else is so that someone else did not suffer.
That's amazing. And I was going to say, you know, my podcast really focuses too on three key things, and that's courage, connection, and consciousness. I think we have to, it takes mindfulness to really get to understand who we are and what we're here to do and what a gift and what courage, you know, for you to go through this, you've transformed and just your story alone, Brad, will help so many. So I cannot thank you enough for sharing it. And you've had such incredible. I was going to say, you've shared such amazing wisdom. If there was one thing, you know, that you would leave the audience with that you wish now that you could say to the younger Brad, the Brad, you know, maybe even your 20s and 30s, mm-hmm. that you would go, here is what I would leave you with this. What would you impart?
You know, it's interesting. I thought about this an awful lot. And I would say, you're going to make mistakes. Some of them are going to be really bonehead ones. But each one of those mistakes makes you who you are today, in where I'm at today. Had I gone back in and make any changes, I would be who I am today or where I'm at. I may be in a worse place. I may not be in a place of healing. I don't know. Each time that we end up having a fracture, we become stronger through it. We grow through that. But it's just, the biggest thing is, don't beat yourself up. Forgive yourself for the mistakes that you made. Love yourself. Provide yourself self-compassion. Your self-worth is not depending on anybody that's outside other than you. That's the biggest message I can give to anybody. Your own value is centered around how you view yourself. The opinions of others, how they view you, their feelings towards you, none of your business. It's how do you view you? I like Brad. I really do. He's, you know, he's a good man, made mistakes, but, you know, he keeps growing, keeps moving forward. We're going to make more mistakes as he goes along. But the biggest thing that I can end up saying is that I've learned. I'm applying those things that I have learned in order to become a better version of me every single day. Yesterday is yesterday. There's nothing I can end up doing about it. I don't become overwhelmed by yesterday. You can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about tomorrow because tomorrow hasn't arrived. So be present. Be present for yourself. Be present for those that you love. And most of all is know that your self-worth is highly prized and that you are highly prized as well.
Oh my gosh. I have goosebumps, me and my goosebumps again, Brad, but you couldn't have left it on it. Just a more beautiful note. I so appreciate you taking this time to share that information and share yourself and the journey that, you know, we'll see. I'll stay in touch. And I'm sure the listeners would love to hear more down the road, especially as you, once you're out there mentoring and guiding others.
My pleasure. So,
thank you again, and have a joyous rest of your day and leaving the legacy in love. How better does it get than that?
Yeah, it doesn't get much better than that.
I agree. All right. Cheers.
Take care.
Thank you all for joining today. Going through loss like that and then going through that type of transformation and to learn more about yourself and to understand how valuable you are. I am incredibly grateful that we had this opportunity to visit with Brad. If you want to connect with him or learn more about his story, I will have that information in the show notes. If you want to connect with me, I'm also on social media. And here is to really just loving ourselves, understanding that our self-worth is highly prized. And all of you are magnificent. So thanks again.